In 1935, getting back again on a little bit of my back history in San Diego State, when Heppner came, there was a strong move among institutions to form general education. Mm-hmm. And he was a great proponent of that. So he decided, starting with 35, that they were going to reform the curriculum from a teacher's college curriculum to a traditional four-year one. Although he was a teacher training protege himself, deeply embedded in teacher training, but he was going to do this, and one of the things was to bring a more liberal faculty, more liberal arts faculty, mm-hmm. and also to bring a more liberal arts background to the people who didn't take teacher training, and that was to be, while a prominent part of the program here, it was not to be the dominant. Well, he maybe thought it was to be the dominant one, one among many. But he pushed us quite a bit to form a general education. It was a forerunner of the 1946 general education upheaval that he formed here, mm-hmm. too, which I was on the committee for that for 2 years, along with Abe Nasseter and Sue Ernest and all of the other jackasses. But in that process in 35, there was a great trend to get away from physics and chemistry and geology and astronomy and the physical sciences into a general physical science course. The same thing was true in biology and botany, and that to make a general course, lower division course, mm-hmm. that would be applied toward the general education requirement, where up to that time they had to take a physics course or a chemistry course or a biology course, and they were delineated. You could choose, but they were traditional courses from a department. Mm-hmm. So he had that in mind. I had just made assistant professor, and he asked me if I would help him with that. And the other departments in the physical sciences, were not hot at all. Didn't like it at all. So I didn't. I cooled off. Mm-hmm. I stayed in physics. But the rest of the departments were very cool toward it. But that was still burgeoning. So he brought in several people, not in physical science. There was too much against it there. But he brought in some people in the social sciences. I won't mention their names directly. But he brought in some who had broad... one. And he had a dean, A.G. Peterson, who had grown up through the Hardy days, mm-hmm. and became vice president, or dean of liberal arts, I guess. And A.G. Peterson had become imbued with this attitude of general education. So Dean Peterson, A.G. Peterson, well, he was a dean. There were two deans. Mm-hmm. That's why we call the other one Coach. A.C.E. Peterson, Coach. Dean Peterson, the liberal arts, taught a course of 12 units, mm-hmm. over 2 years, 3 units each semester, that every student had to take. If he didn't take a certain, the previous core course,
yeah.
he could take this. This gave him some liberality. And Peterson, we were kind of drafted into it. I got drafted in the late 30s to give a series of lectures, not a full course, but a series of lectures along with Jim Crouch, mm-hmm. in biological science. And between the two of us, we gave a course, 1/4 of the course of that 2-year course, 1 semester, physical, biological, and we were to put in history and the like. That's where I got intrigued a lot with history of science and all that. And I became intrigued with physical science. And they had a textbook that was just coming out. A fellow in Stockton had written a pretty good book, There was one in biology. There was a similar semester course in the social sciences. Peterson gave part of that. I don't know who gave it over. And I don't think it was Leonard or Leslie or Nassatir. I don't think so, but it may. There was one in literature. There would be a fourth one of something. I don't know what it was. And that was to be a course for general education in case, say, students wanted it or other. Well, I got wrapped up with that. And of course, there was a trend toward this. And so by 1939, I was still working on my doctorate, but putting her lining it up. Came up for associate professor then, and I got it then. I think maybe because I accepted something then. But anyhow, there was a move on foot here, and Heppner was pushing it. He'd been 2 or 3 years in this other kind of deal. He was pushing it. And he wanted to form expansions of that, so he wanted to form a broader physical science course, not just a part of a course, but a full course, or maybe 2 courses. Same for social science and all that. So he called me in first and wanted to say what I thought and asked me about textbooks and the like. Would I take it? Well, I wasn't very hot about it because I was more interested in physics. Here I was getting my PhD in strictly physics rather than teacher training or anything like that. And I had future plans, and besides, the war was coming. My family fellow was coming. And as a consequence, he called me in, and then he called all the senior people in the physical sciences, Baylor Brooks and Dudley Robinson, Cliff Smith and myself, Oscar Ware and the rest, over to old Scripps Cottage where it was.
Yeah, it was up here.
And he called them in, called us in. We had a coffee clutch and he laid it out. He kind of implied that day, that night, that I would take it over. Well, I wasn't very hot about it, and I may have engendered some hard feeling, but I didn't like it too well. But curiously and fortuitously enough, that semester, a fellow walked in the old physics building, walked in one day, and a young fellow about 4 years older than I was, 5 years older than I was, he was getting his EDD degree from USC, which they were just starting to give in detail. He had taught physics, Don Watson, who became vice president here. He was a dean and then became vice president. Well, he walked in there. He came over here looking for a job. Wanted to know if there was a job in physics. And Oscar Baird was there. We were getting ready to hire a man. In fact, we had actually hired a fellow by the name of Worley, who went to ultimately the University of Nevada later on after the war. But he was just getting his PhD in physics. Don Watson walked in. He was getting his EDD degree and writing it on physical science. Education in physical science, of all things. I said to Oscar Watson, we had a little dinky office. I said, "Here's our man, Oscar." And so, a long story short, I took him over to meet Heppner. And Heppner hired him on the spot. Right down there, told us to find a place for him, and he was to teach him a course in physics and a couple of courses in physical science. We gave him an office along with this other physics guy in a little dingy office. So we had 2 people in physics assigned to the physics department. that wasn't, there was no physical science department.
Yeah.
That came later when we decided that it'd be better to do it that way, with the teacher training area. And Don walked into it there, and he talked physical science, and I gave it up. God, I was relieved. I liked physical science, but a lot of students, I had, one year, we had a new lecture hall on the quad, seats about 150, and I was teaching two sections of that, which was half my load.
Yes.
And I was giving up physics. I said, the hell with that. That's when this Watson went in. So he took over that. And then the war came. I got in the war. Everything went to pot. Don stayed on. He became registrar. The registrar moved. And then the war. About a dozen of us from the faculty went in the Navy. Dudley Robinson, Leo Callan, the football coach, Maury Gross, the basketball coach, Terry, another football coach. Oh, God, I didn't know. Half a dozen or more.
Yeah, a lot of the faculty.
There were a lot of us.
Yeah.
But we all went in the Navy. Well, not all of them. Some went in the, two or three went in the Army. We went in the Navy. And Don Watson, the institution went down to less than 1,000 students, I'll guess, or maybe 2,000. I'm picking numbers out of the hat. Mostly women, because we had a strong contingent of men that went through the line of the armed forces. So Watson went into the registrar's office temporarily. And then at the end of the war, when things started to boom, he became dean of liberal arts, I guess you call it, or whatever. Dean of
liberal studies.
Whatever it was. Liberal arts, I guess it would be, yeah. And that's how he became, then he became vice president later on, when they formed two vice president jobs. O'Byrne came first, in the first one. So that's how the physical science, and then later on, when physics started to boom, with electronics and the like, teacher training became a very less dominant factor in than you might expect. And Jack Smith, L.E. Smith, Lewis Leslie Smith, but Jack Smith, who was a graduate of ours, went and got his Ph.D. at University of Washington, but came back and taught with us. So he retired a couple of years ago, but he stayed with us till the whole time he was here. I mean, whole time. Became department chairman. But he took over most of the teacher training areas of the physical sciences, and they formed a physical science department, although he stayed in physics. But he, Dessel, we brought Dessel in, and then Dessel, I suggested to Dessel that he'd be smarter to move to physical science rather than to stay in physics. And they brought in some others. First PhD we gave was in chemistry here at Metzger. He stayed in physical science. He never did get into the chemistry department. But that's how Don Watson came here, how the physical science setup was essentially inaugurating.
Well, that's about it. I don't have anything else to ask you.
God, I kept you longer than you.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. I'll go through these tapes at home.